Hello. You are listening to Stirring the Pod on Voice of Vashon 101.9 FMLP, KVSH, in beautiful uptown Vashon Island, Washington. Today's episode will take you to some new ideas about culture and food. I hope you can pull up a chair and listen as my cohorts and I talk about food adventure we recently shared. We shared an hour's drive and ended up in Turkey. More on that later. I thought I'd take a minute and let you know a little about us, though. You know, I don't know that we've ever really introduced ourselves other than by name. So I'm Linda Nygaard. I'm one of the hosts. And what I can tell you about me is that food is joy. Whether I'm cooking it or friends are feeding me or if I'm reading about it, talking about it, sharing it, or, I mean, eating by myself. Those secret secret foods we all eat by ourselves. I'm a retired food and travel writer whose interest in food started at my grandmother's table and evolved from there. And maybe someday I'll tell you that story because it's a good one, but not today. And with me in the studio are three of my favorite cooks, Celine Demir, co-host, and my friend. Hi, Celine.
Hello, my dear.
Celine hails from Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
Turkey. I'm trying to get used to the new way of pronouncing it.
I know. Even I'm not good at it. Yeah. I mean, I still go say Turkey, but it's like, no, it's supposed to be Turkey.
Anyway, Celine brings a wealth of knowledge about Turkish food and culture, which we will be exploring in this episode. She has a big corporate job, but she takes time to come to the KVSH studio in order to share her knowledge and enthusiasm about food, culture, and comfort. Her kitchen's always open, and you can't leave her home without delicious home-cooked goodies in a big, fat bundle. And, excuse me, Sharon Briskman is a friend of mine, too, and her table is always plentiful. She's known for her kugel and her pickles. Tom Conway always talks about your pickles.
My pickles.
Yeah. You should be so lucky as to taste either or both, I'm telling you. Sharon hails from Chicago and Scottsdale, but she's landed at home here on Vashon. Sharon's a generous woman who's curious about so many things, and that always leads us to explore other things that we may not have thought about. Hi, Sharon.
Hello.
Welcome to show.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
And Heidi Skrypek.
Hello.
Heidi's our intrepid engineer, but she's more than that, really. She's also a friend of mine. Heidi is a world-class swimmer who's training right now for a relay across the English Channel in June, Heidi?
July.
Oh, my.
Most days, she can be found swimming around Puget Sound, no matter the weather, no matter how cold the water. Heidi has experienced the world of food in her own home, as well as from destinations around the world. Her husband's a chef, so they eat quite well at their house. She is a gardener whose herbs and vegetables flavor my food sometimes, too. She's also a fan of chickens. And I'm happy to say that I can get organic eggs from her beloveds almost any time.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I have to say, she's a wine expert. And someday we're going to do a show about wine, and Heidi's going to educate us all.
Can I be there?
Yes. Absolutely.
Thank you.
We might have to taste some, too.
Oh, I'll force myself.
That. So anyway, I'm just really lucky to know these brilliant women who cook. So with that, we shall proceed.
Right.
And I just want to give you a little information about what we're doing today. So, you know, they, whoever they are, say the fastest way to cross a border isn't by plane, but it's by fork. What if I told you the world peace might start with a bowl of lentil soup? Stick with me here. Without leaving Washington, today we're traveling to the shores of the Bosphorus, which, if you don't know, is a natural strait in Turkey, connecting the Black Sea to the Sea of Marmara. Turkish food has fed travelers, traders, and neighbors for thousands of years along the ancient Silk Road. And tucked in a little place on 6th Street in Kirkland, you'll find a family-run gem called Koza Cafe. It has a 4.9-star rating and a big warm heart. The chef and staff will wrap you in hospitality, and in doing so, they turn strangers into friends. Because that's what a shared meal does. It dissolves the distance between us. I really believe that. And Koza means cocoon in Turkish, a place where something beautiful is born. You can sit there, eat together, talk to the people at the next table who will be very curious about you too, and the world will seem a little smaller. After you eat, you can saunter next door and find Turkish ingredients and a colorful vision of things you'll want to make at the adjacent Turkish grocery store, which also features things from other Middle Eastern countries. Mm-hmm. But
absolutely,
it's a lot of Turkish goodness. So I guess my first question, Celine, that's enough for my lecture today.
You said it so beautifully.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Celine, I'd like to know how you discovered Koza. What happened? Because I know at some point you were hungry for the tastes of your childhood.
Yeah. So a lot of the Turkish foods before Koza came up was we were finding from the Lebanese markets, you know, some of the Lebanese markets or Middle Eastern markets in around Seattle or outside of Seattle, they would carry some Turkish food products. And so that's where we were kind of going. And then a friend of mine was one of the architects or interior designer, I can't remember. So she started posting on her Facebook page saying that there is a Turkish market coming up. And then she would like do little pictures and this is what's coming. And I'm like, oh, Turkish market, like, wow. And so I started following, and then I saw what the name was, and then I started following their Facebook page, and then you know, when I learned that they opened, I just went, and oh my god, it was just one of the most organized little markets. Because I don't know if you've ever been to ethnic markets or Middle Eastern markets. They're not the most organized ones.
No.
Because there's so much stuff that they bring in. So there's like everywhere. But when you go to Koza, everything is like very nicely organized.
It's categorized.
Very much so. And that's something that I think it's a cultural thing with us too. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of like the Turkish, what we used to call bakkal, like, or the neighborhood market. Mm-hmm. So, and then it's like, it's very organized little things, but then you can find anything you need.
And if you can't find it, somebody knows where it is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They know everything is.
You were asking, and then she was helping you find it too. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Exactly.
And
exactly.
I remember hearing you say, was something about the tahini paste thing?
Tahini. Yeah.
And last time it came in one jar, and this time it came in two jars. And she was remembering that and talking about it.
I know.
I mean, they know everything there.
And she wasn't even there last time I went.
I know.
So,
but she
knew. She knows the
this was a different woman. That was there when we were there. She was very helpful.
I think there are two ladies that they usually work in different shifts. So, and then there's a young gentleman too. So I got to notice all three of them. Kind of depends on which day we go and which what time we go.
Well, I want to say, Celine, that one of the most fun things that I saw was when you went back into the kitchen at the restaurant. We're switching gears here. And we're watching the chefs prepare our food, because they just kept bringing these fabulous platters of food
to
our table. And Celine went back to the kitchen, and I want to play a little clip for you of what it sounded like back there, because they were speaking Turkish and they were talking about the food. So here we go. Hang on, it's coming.
In the kitchen at Koza.
Here we go.
Hamza.
Merhaba Hamza ustam. Nasılsınız?
Hamurları fısıldayan adam.
Hamurları fısıldayan adam. Wow.
Dough whisperer.
Wait
he
to try.
He calls his chef the dough whisperer.
Oh, he did? Oh.
Bu Mevlana mı?
Bıçak arası.
Bıçak arası.
We were talking about the pides that
Mevlana
just came out.
So good. Bu da lahmacunlarımız.
And then the Turkish pizza.
Harika, harika.
Lahmacun is a Turkish pizza. Oh, it was so good.
What's harika?
Harika means wonderful.
What is harika?
Wonderful, amazing.
Okay. It was. So let's talk.
It just looked really good.
So do you refer to all of those three different things as Turkish pizza or just the one?
No, the lahmacun is the one that usually, the way that when we tell people what is this, that we say, it's like Turkish pizza.
Okay.
And then the other ones are pide.
Yeah, the triangular shaped ones.
Yeah, or yeah. like boat-like.
Yeah.
More
yeah.
like boat-like. And what yeah. I mm-hmm. learned was that there, it's all different kinds of breads. It's not yeah. the same bread.
Yeah, so that's what Yelchin mentioned.
I know, they're very busy in yeah. there with making different kinds of breads. You know, let's hear a little bit about Turkish pizza.
Yeah, sure.
He's bringing it to the table right now.
Cube beef one, kavurma. Kuşbaşı.
This was the pide
lahmacun.
And then lahmacun, yes, the Turkish pizza.
And then this is the mevlana. This is the lahmacun. That's what's the Turkish pizza is like. And then I'll show you how we eat that.
Yes.
Okay, so how do we eat that?
So the way that after it's a minced meat that mixed with grated like onions and tomatoes, like it's a very watery mix. And then I believe that's when Yelchin said that it didn't have a yeast in the dough. So
right,
that
it was.
The dough yeah. was made without a yeast. And then it's opened very thinly. Mm-hmm. And then they put that very watery mince meat mix in there, and then it just cooked, and it cooks very quickly because the everything is so thin, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And then when it comes out, what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to squeeze some fresh lemon.
Okay. Yeah, and, but he brought a little platter of
yeah. So things. He brought everything in there. Mm-hmm. So in the platter there was lemon wedges. Mm-hmm. There was fresh parsley.
Right.
And then onions, usually red onions, but mm-hmm. any kind of onions. And then tomatoes.
Tomatoes, yeah.
So, and then they're all supposed to be cut very thinly because mm-hmm. you're not supposed to like, the whole thing is like very thin. So, and then, so you would start putting the lemon, you squeeze mm-hmm. the lemon juice to the lahmacun. And then you start putting the parsley and then you layer the onions and then the tomatoes and then you put a little bit of sumac if there's some mm-hmm. sumac mm-hmm. or sumac. Mm-hmm. I never say that correctly.
Love that stuff.
And then you start rolling it like almost like a burrito, but you don't put the edges, so you just like mm-hmm. roll it mm-hmm. and then you just start eating it. It's just oh, it's so mouthwatering.
It's, so
it's one
delicious.
Of my favorite.
It's making my mouth water yeah. right now.
Yeah, it's yeah. Just, it was very so delicious. Good.
So, is the meat on it a mixture of beef and lamb, or is it? Can it be all lamb, or
it can be either or? Okay. Yes, okay. yes. And I forgot to ask Yelchin if it was all lamb or if it was a mixture of. I don't remember.
It didn't
actually,
matter.
But it was yeah, yeah. Like when we make it, I think my husband usually mixed the both because mm-hmm. mm-hmm. it gives a really good flavor. Yeah. But most of the time, I think it's lamb, only yeah, ground lamb.
It's really good.
Because in Turkey, we eat a lot of lamb.
Yes, I love lamb.
Yeah.
Well, Heidi, I remember that day when you had been swimming in the morning before we went there
right.
and you hadn't eaten yet.
Yeah.
And you were starving.
Yeah.
And the first bite you took was of that pizza thing.
Yeah.
What do you call it? What's the name?
Lahmacun.
Yeah.
Lahmacun. Oh,
thank you. and the first bite you took lit your whole face up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Were so
I saw
unhappy.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was very hungry. That was good food.
Oh, it was mm-hmm. so good. It was so good. And then we have, let's see, are we three or four right now?
We're going into our third clip.
Yeah, so we're just to give you a little background, the four of us are sitting at the table oohing and aahing and chewing and, you know, there wasn't a lot of chatter because we were busy eating.
We were, weren't
we? And the proprietor,
Yelchin.
Yelchin. I'm sorry, Yelchin. I forgot how to pronounce your name.
No, it's all good.
Anyway, he's talking to us about the different dialects mm-hmm. in Turkey and around
yeah,
that
yeah.
area, and how really it's the same language, but it's different dialects.
Yeah.
But that the Afghanistan people can speak to the Turkish people yeah. and still understand because they pick up sounds and they know yeah. like well I'll
yeah,
just play
cognates.
It for you. I'll just
yeah.
play it for you. Let's get it open here.
Look how beautiful.
Isn't it pretty?
Big apple parsley.
Oh wait, that's the wrong clip.
You got it. It's hard to tell Celine in the restaurant and Celine to my left side right now in the studio.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
So Yalcin, Türkçe konuşmamızı da istediler.
Tabii ki.
Peki nasıl aklına geldi mesela Türk marketi açmak, Türk restoranını açmak burada? Hiç yani aklına nasıl geldi?
Ya.
What are you saying?
I was that. It's really hard to speak on demand. And I was just asking, how did he decide to open up a Turkish market or a Turkish restaurant?
Yeah.
And he was telling that he came on a lottery green card. As a family.
Yeah. So, did he see the need for this Turkish restaurant?
He said that a lot of her Turkish friends were telling him that, oh, we really need a real Turkish dinar. Like, for example,
so, Yalcin,
the difference between dinar and gyro are very, very different. As you tasted it yourself, too, it's there. You can find a gyro any Greek restaurant, and then you're like, okay, I got my fix, right? Somewhat, but dinar is really hard to find, and there is no, there wasn't any Turkish restaurants on the east side, which there's majority of the Turkish people live on the east side.
Yeah, major.
Because there's a lot of a lot of them work in one of the major corporations there. So since the population was there wasn't much Turkish restaurants like those traditional dinar and traditional lahmacun, traditional pide. And so what Yalcin was saying, that's what he was missing himself too as a newcomer too. Mm-hmm. But because he didn't have the training in culinary field, so he started kind of doing, he opened up his business as a painting and construction, and he said that was the first thing that he was doing. And then he kind of built the whole store and the cafe
by himself.
Yeah.
He really
did. I mean, because that's what he did. And it looks so beautiful. Yeah. And then as the friends said, you should do this. And then he started kind of talking with people. Mm-hmm. And then he built the market first, because he thought that was
smart.
Very important. Mm-hmm. And then brought the Turkish market into the east side, where a lot of the Turkish people lived. And then those people who were coming almost every day, because, you know, when I ran into some of the Turkish people there, they come and they buy like little things, you know, just mm-hmm. like you would go to a grocery store. Mm-hmm. And then they see that, you know, I fill up like 4 or 5 bags of stuff. They're like, yep. You must not live around here. I'm like, nope. No. I come here every like 4 or 5 months. That's why I fill up.
Oh,
and so, so those are the people who come mm-hmm. there almost every day. They're also friends. There's a really lovely Turkish community in the Seattle area.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a Turk Fest. There's the International Children's Fest that are put by the Turk Fest. And so there's a lot of community events that Turkish people do. And so they were like, pressuring him, and that's how they started.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I do actually have a sound clip now.
Okay.
So let's listen to him talk, then really basically tell you the same story.
Listening to it. I bet you miss it. Do you miss
talking
it?
About how he misses his language.
Yeah. Or do you speak it here all the time?
Oh, yeah. We are speak Turkish language, and then we have also a lot of Turkish customers right there.
Sure.
Also,
and then there's Celine.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then also another country like Turkey, the culture from Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Azerbaijan.
Right.
When they came here, we are speaking the Turkish language, but their accent is really different than our Turkish language.
They're different dialects.
But is the language pretty much the same?
Yeah.
Different.
You get the gist of it. I mean, I met with other people too. You kind of get the gist of it because they have a different dialect.
Well, it would be a little like Mexican Spanish and Spain Spanish.
Exactly. That's how it is. That's it, how it is. Like you can kind of get the gist of it, you understand, but it's not as easy as to communicate.
Yeah. Well, it's a beautiful.
It is interesting to hear yourself talk.
Is it? We should all listen to ourselves sometimes.
I don't want to.
I think this might be a good time to talk about traditional and authentic.
Yes.
Because one of the things that he was very keen on was the idea that he wanted traditional food from his childhood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think we all know about that. Sharon, I've heard you talk about that at length, about traditional food from your childhood.
Right.
And your mom's table and
right.
the things that don't necessarily hold true in the greater world.
Right.
It's your personal taste.
That's right. I believe that the first, you know, whatever the dish is, your first taste is what you base everything else on.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my grandmother's sweet and sour cabbage borscht, yes. which we've talked about,
yes.
That's correct to me.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone else makes it and they say, no, this is right, that's what they think, mm-hmm. but I know better.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So, yeah, it's very interesting.
It's very interesting, you know, and I think every culture has that.
Like
can think about the Italian grandmothers who argue mm-hmm. over the Sunday sauce or
true,
the gravy,
right?
as
yeah.
they
yeah.
say,
yeah.
you know. But he was talking about he's dedicated the mm-hmm. restaurant to the taste of his childhood.
Yes.
And he said there are different variations. And he said to him, the authentic means it's made in the country of origin.
Mm-hmm.
And within that country of origin, there are many, many changes.
Mm-hmm.
So authentic is a bigger concept. Traditional is his tradition.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, your perception is your reality. But
mm-hmm.
I just was, my heart was warmed by that conversation because he was so ardent about creating food that is real and really reminiscent of his childhood and his neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, hearing that, it's as though he's inviting you into his home.
Yeah.
And serving you his food.
Yeah.
You know, it's not commercial.
Mm-hmm.
It's from his heart.
And for someone who actually experienced different restaurants, there mm-hmm. were other Turkish restaurants around, you know, in the Seattle mm-hmm. area. And I've been to several of them. They're all great restaurants. Don't get me wrong. But wherever the person is from, you can totally tell the difference.
You can tell. Mm-hmm. Right.
There used to be a Turkish restaurant here when I first moved here that all the Americans used to love and go there. And I went there. The food was not something that I would call authentic Turkish food.
Yeah.
It was more like a Mediterranean Greek mm-hmm. food. And it was interesting. And I can totally relate with Yalçın. And I think that's why I love that. I love this little cafe because it does remind me of the little street cafes mm-hmm. that I grew up to, like back in Turkey. I haven't been to Turkey for decades
now. I know you
now.
Haven't.
So it's,
well, since a couple weeks ago when we went to Kirkland.
Exactly. But then that's exactly how I felt. Yeah, that's how I felt. It was very, very lovely. And it felt very... It felt very like traditional and maybe
and like home.
Yeah. Maybe Yalçın and I grew up in similar family
mm-hmm.
Values and family food
mm-hmm.
Things. It's because however he wanted his food to be there.
That's how it was.
Yeah. It felt the same.
This is a different ethnicity, but it's the uh-huh. same kind of story. It relates to what you're saying. There was a delicatessen that I went to mm-hmm. in Scottsdale, and they had chicken soup and matzo balls. Chicken soup and matzo balls,
mm-hmm.
right? And I said, oh my goodness, these are really delicious.
Yeah.
And the owner told me this story, that a woman came in and said, oh my goodness, this is like my mother made. And it turned out that the owner of the store had trained under her mother in Chicago.
Oh, my goodness.
And so when that woman, it makes you cry. When that woman said, oh, this is like my mother's, it was. Oh,
it really was
so,
her mom's.
Yeah, yeah, it was her mother's.
Yeah. Aww. See, that's wonderful. That's wonderful.
A sweet story. And that's kind of what we experienced at COSA.
Yeah. Yeah.
It really was.
Really. I mean, I felt that way. And then every time I go, I feel like, oh, I'm back in the streets of Istanbul.
Right. That's so nice. Yeah. That's just so good to know. Let's talk a little bit about the grocery store.
Oh, let's talk about the grocery store.
Sharon's dying to talk about the grocery store.
Do we
store.
Have the clip of Sharon's going ooing and aahing?
No, we don't. I wish
oh,
we
I didn't know that.
No, what happened was
Sharon so just I loved said, going into the store.
Didn't she? I had been there before, so I knew what to expect. Sharon had never been there. Yeah. And so I opened the door for her, and she walked in before I did, and she just went, oh my God. Oh. Oh. And then the people at the cash register were like, what's wrong?
Oh, yeah, is she okay?
Is she all right?
And I immediately went for one of the rolling baskets.
Yeah. She loved that basket.
Yeah, she
I was quite impressed.
Yeah. Well, she bought things times three.
Yeah, she did.
Because she has two daughters who wanted one of each.
Yeah, right, so, right.
Yeah.
And by the way, the packets of bread, you know, the different pitas that they had, my daughters took them all.
Oh. They do make good pita bread, right?
Yeah.
It was very good.
They do. So we got a little bit of an education from Celine and from the grocery store people about what you use this for and what this is for. But we found something that even Celine didn't know what was. And it was this funny little green stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about that.
It was, yes, this is interesting. It's called, the Turkish name is Deniz Börülcesi.
Oh, sure.
And
Right off your tip of your tongue.
So I had to look it up to see how I would be translating that to in English.
Describe it.
So, I mean, these look like little, I don't know, how do you describe this, Heidi?
It looks like kelp. Sliced up kelp, which I think is exactly what it is.
You know, it does kind of taste like, I don't know, have you tried it? I mean, it's very, very...
I did.
So... It apparently it grows in a very, very salty seawater towns.
And they're called, we would call them sea beans.
Sea beans.
Oh, they grow here.
Glass and
we can go get them here.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They do?
Yep.
Yeah.
They grow right.
Puget Sound, prolific. Puget Sound.
Does it taste the same? I don't know. And then are they fermented?
So these are in brine, so it's very salty. So I'm sure you would probably need something to like get the salt out a little bit because it's very salty. But it's really yummy.
It's like green beans.
Yeah. So this is a funny story because I told I was telling my husband, I said, have you ever eaten this? And he goes like, oh yeah, because he lived in Izmir, which is right on the Aegean coast as a child. And he goes like, oh yeah, they used to have this, but I only ate it fresh because this is like during the summer, they would have it in the farmer's market.
Just harvested.
Yeah. And then harvested and then they would buy it and then his mom would cook it. And then I was telling my mom about it and I said, I found this thing, but I said, I never heard of it. And she goes like, yes, you did. You ate that. I'm like, I did. And she's like, remember when we visited your aunt who also lived in Izmir, she would make this. And because we would visit her during the summer, and this is when it was like on the farmer's market during the summer, and she would make big plates of it, and then she would make it with olive oil, just like green beans that we make in Turkey, and then she used to call it skinny green beans to us.
So totally. So you just eat it on the side of
you can eat it as a side.
Oh, it's like a condiment.
Almost like it's like a side dish.
Like a side dish.
Not a condiment, but more like a side dish. Yeah. And then in Turkey during the summer, what people do usually, they cook a lot of things with olive oil with no meat. And olive oil and lemon juice. And then it would be in the fridge. And then people would just take it from the fridge, little side dish. And then you can either cook something to add on to it or not. Or you would just eat it. And green beans were cooked like that during the summer. And then so börülce, which is the sea beans, also mm-hmm. cooked. But it's I've never seen this in Istanbul growing up because I grew up in Istanbul. Okay. But like my mother reminded me that whenever we visited my aunt mm-hmm. in Izmir, which is on the Aegean coast, I ate this.
Wow. Right, so apparently. How was it cooked?
She would cook it, saute with onions and okay. tomatoes and olive oil and lemon juice. That's it.
And the saltiness is in the bean itself?
Right.
Honestly, I don't remember how it was fresh. Because I don't think as fresh, I don't think it's as salty as it is yeah. now.
Right.
Because it's in brine, so it's very salty here.
Okay.
But when they usually, in Turkey, they would buy them fresh. So yeah. I don't mm-hmm. think they're as salty.
Well, in my world, they're not too salty.
They're not really?
Wow. I like them a lot.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, I thought it was very salty.
You didn't like them? You didn't
I
like
love
it?
Them, but they're. I would rinse that.
Yeah, I would
I think
too.
Most people yeah. probably yeah. would.
Okay. I think we have to go shopping.
Yeah, again.
Are we going back? Yeah. Y'all two were coming back.
But imagine it is a testament to how nourishing the mm-hmm. sea is, and it goes back to the tide is out and the table is set, because something like that, mm-hmm. it absolutely tastes like us. Just a skinnier, more chopped up version of a string bean that you would get canned.
It does. Yeah.
It's the same color. It's the same texture. It has the same density when you bite through it. Mm-hmm. The salt is very salty, but it's really good and really good for you.
Well, Heidi and I were talking about this last week, and we were talking about the fact that it grows here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I did not know that.
Like the mud flats, so when the tide is out.
Tide's
out,
yeah.
You can go get it. And I don't know if that's KVI Beach or where that would be, but the Vashon Nature Center will certainly know. And I intend to look and see.
That would be interesting.
It would be really
Let
interesting.
Let me know if you find any.
Will. Or maybe you'll come with me.
Yeah, yeah, that would be cool. Yes. That would be
good stuff. I intend to buy it in a jar.
All right. No foraging, Sharon.
Oh. Okay, you can do that. Well, so Sharon.
Oh, and here's another. Did you try that?
Oh, the what?
There's another one.
Oh, are those the little peaches?
Uh-huh. So they're the green peaches, pickled green peaches. I've never heard of this one either before.
Well, they look like bulbous green olives.
Like, yeah, that's what it looks like, but it's
but
really...
they're furry.
Yeah, they're furry like peaches. Some...
peach fuzz remnants, but
yes,
okay, I'm gonna try one. It's cold. It looks like an olive you would see on
just
a
bite into it.
Yeah.
Here we go. Oh man. Oh golly.
It's really hard.
Oh, I didn't have any trouble whatsoever.
There's my ASMR. Crunch, crunch, crunch.
I'm kind of iffy about these.
You're iffy about mm-hmm. this? Yeah.
Well, then I'll take the last one.
There you go. You can have the whole thing if you like, my dear. So the only reason I took these two because these are I don't think I've ever tasted these before, and I brought it home and my husband never heard of it either. Mm. So he said, "Green peaches, what is that?" And I was
they're really hard.
Yeah. Mm. And then I looked it up online and I shared that with Linda too. Is it looks like even in the United States people pickle green peaches.
They do?
Whoa. Yes. Oh. It was on that link that I found, and then apparently some people, when they start cutting their peach trees when they're a little budding, and then they have little tiny green peaches, and then they pick those, and then they pickle them, and so it's just like this.
That's very interesting.
It's very interesting. It was very interesting. So,
they're about
Tom Conway, are you listening?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he does have peaches, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So maybe he needs to pick some green ones.
And the trick to eat, I think the trick to eating them is you bite down horizontally.
Yeah, definitely.
And then horizontally, pops a lot faster.
Vertically. Yeah.
Vertically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And then it opens up.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So since Sharon is the pickling expert, I think Tom will pick the green peaches.
And
hint,
I get
Tom.
To pickle them. Yeah.
And then Sharon's going to pickle them. Yep. And then at the show, we're going to try. Right, Heidi?
Yes.
Heidi's not very
good. So what do you think of the buffering. Peaches, Heidi?
I don't mind them. I would rather I'd rather eat an olive or the sea beans.
Sea beans? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Heidi, you pronounce things very well, so I want you to pronounce this. Burulje.
Burulje.
See, she's
good.
Burulje, you're good too. Yes. Yes.
I just love the languages, and I don't understand the Turkish, but when the two of you were talking, I picked up some words because
really
in the Latin, there are some core letter combinations, mm-hmm. and I don't remember what the words were.
Yeah,
but I knew kind of what you were talking. Yeah. It was a certain food you were talking about, and you were talking about breakfast, I think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And in Turkish, the Turkish language is Latin based,
right?
And a lot of people think that it's Arabic. And then they say, oh, what does that say? And then they show me Arabic. I'm like, I don't know, because I don't know Arabic. The Turkish is not Arabic. No. It doesn't use the Arabic alphabet. And so it's Latin-based, but it does have a lot of words or vocabulary mm-hmm. from Arabic and Persian and Turkic and all of those because, you know, I mean, Turks used to be part of Ottoman Empire that was all around the world.
So, it's incorporated.
There's a lot of different languages mm-hmm. incorporated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very interesting. Yeah. So, Sharon, can we talk about what you found at the grocery store?
Oh, let me see. Well, I got the jar said pickled lemons. Uh-huh. But they're...
Were they preserved lemons?
Preserved lemons uh-huh. for my daughter. I have yet to figure... I don't know what she's going to do with them. I bought two different kinds of pita. What I bought, because it was so strange looking to me, were the Turkish noodles. And they're... before you cook them, they're like chow mein noodles.
Yes.
I think Heidi had said.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're broad.
Mm-hmm.
And... or... you know, they're like about a quarter of an inch. They're mm-hmm. they're big. And so today I decided I would bring it for a taste. And I just put together my own sort of recipe.
Yeah.
And so it was the tomato paste that I was assured by Linda that I'll never use another kind of tomato paste once I use this. And then I had the garlic, I think it's called purple stripe garlic. It's a garlic salt, and it looked interesting. And so I used that. And unfortunately, I had eaten all the yogurt that I had bought. So instead of putting yogurt in it, I put sour cream in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it thickens up very, very fast. So I think it had said in the recipe on the package to use... yogurt sauce. Mm-hmm. So is that something different than...
You did great.
No. Oh, I have more.
Yeah. So yogurt sauce is yogurt and garlic.
Oh.
And salt. That's what the
I made it.
That's so you made it. Yeah. We put yogurt sauce into our pasta mm-hmm. and that noodle that you got, it's called erişte.
Erişte.
Mm-hmm. So it's erişte is a homemade noodles, and then it's usually people make it in their home, and then they cut it with with scissors, and that those little short
and do they length. Do they brown it? Because
they brown it to dry it,
mm-hmm.
and then they put it in airtight jars. And then they eat it all winter long. So they
Wait a minute, back up. Mm-hmm, so they take the dough
uh-huh.
and brown it in a pan?
No, so they make the dough and then they make them, they open them up and then they cut the noodles.
Okay.
Once the noodles kind of dry out after they cut them, they brown them.
Oh.
So, and then it tastes really good. So there's, some people don't brown them, some mm-hmm. people brown them.
Well, Sharon brought us a sample of her noodle dish, and I think it's fabulous. It's really...
Excuse me. I'm not accustomed to recording studios.
It's like rustle, rustle, rustle.
Yeah, so sorry. I wanted to...
listen to the noodle.
Authentic.
Yeah.
That's how ASMR.
And they do. They really look like Chinese. Not Chinese. Yeah.
Yeah.
Chow mein.
They really do look like chow mein. Almost.
But they're a lot harder
than
chow mein noodles.
Mm-hmm.
So you're, I vote success on the
dish. Thank you.
And
thank you.
I would make that myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a big makes a big bowl. I would only use next time a portion.
Yeah,
of
it. It does.
It expands
oh my a little God, bit, yeah. And then once you put, and then they, I think in the recipe they also put ground walnuts on top too.
Yeah,
yeah.
For some reason, ground walnuts and yogurt and erishte, they kind of marry really well together.
I think I kind of want some.
I've got the walnuts at home. If you'd like to, borrow some.
You know, did you? You said you had something else, Sharon, or no?
That I made?
Did you buy?
Oh, that I bought. Well, a quart of yogurt, which I managed to finish.
And let's talk about the yogurt for a minute, because it's really different from American yogurt.
Yeah.
I know that we can get strained yogurt here, like regular strained American yogurt, which means it's thicker and it's not quite so watery. But the Turkish yogurt has more tang to it and it's creamier, even though it's strained.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's really, really good. Mm-hmm. I eat some every day and I'm almost out now.
I know. I told you we have to make another road trip.
Yeah, we do. We have to make another
Before
one,
you finish so. It, you might want to make your own yogurt with
Keep
that.
Keep your starter.
Yeah. Keep a starter. She's like, no.
No, I won't.
That's too much work.
I would help you.
I was going to say, Heidi will help you.
I have no idea how to do it. So maybe you can help me do that later.
You know,
it would be a fun project.
My husband has been trying to make yogurt with different types of yogurt, and he hasn't been very sick because he tries really too hard.
Oh, well, he's very methodical about what he does.
Yes, so he tries. Yes. And then whenever I just make it up, it usually goes well. It drives him absolutely bonkers.
Yeah.
Yep. He goes like, I have the exact measures and it still didn't work. I'm like, that's the problem.
I concur. Yeah. I might. Well, you make yogurt all the time, Heidi.
Yeah. So I would help you. If you had any remaining, we could just
if
keep
you have
that
any
as
left.
Our starter. Because it
have
really
a little
does.
Bit.
It picks up. We need at least a tablespoon, preferably
like two. Oh, yeah,
I've
like got probably like a half a cup.
Left. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
If you want, we can do it.
Okay.
Oh, there you
and
go.
And then I'll have to report in, won't I?
You should.
Yeah.
And then you'll probably never want to stop. Because you can just, it's like a sourdough. You just keep moving. Working off that same
thing.
And it's pretty
Okay, awesome. I'm game. I'll try.
It was interesting to me. The difference between the yogurt, the Turkish yogurt, and Greek yogurt, full milk Greek yogurt, which is sweeter and creamier, at least what I've eaten has been. And so it was interesting. They're very similar in texture, in thickness, but flavor is just a little different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, agree.
And the cheeses and the sausages and the different kinds of frozen things they had.
We've been eating the cheese. I just love the white cheese that they have, the variety. Mm-hmm. And we've been very happy.
You know, I bought lots of things, but one of the things I bought was a jar of pickled vegetables, like you know, cauliflower and carrots and onions.
And there was
that Italian. Starts with
Girardinio,
something like that.
Yeah,
but anyway, it's sort of like that.
Yeah,
and but it's stronger, it's bigger, it's bolder, it's so good, and I crave it now. I even put it on a sandwich the other day. Mm-hmm. It was so good.
Neat.
So it would be good with the noodles, because the noodles have that creamy. And have it as a side.
Oh, as a side, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you don't want a whole portion of it, you know.
It's really
a condiment.
Does it have okra?
No.
Oh, good.
No. if it did, I wouldn't buy it.
And pickling juice in Turkey is actually a drink.
Well, you know, people here drink pickle juice too.
Yeah,
but there are like stores that you just go and buy pickling juice to drink.
Okay,
I should send you the link.
I'd like to see
it is amazing.
Well,
actually,
I love pickle juice,
and because pickling juice, like the way that it's made in Turkey, it's really not like any of the pickling juice that you would buy in any of the jars.
I wonder if they have it at Koza.
So it's very similar, but it's there are a couple of brands that I would only buy some of the pickling, and then some of them are really good. But whenever you make it in a commercial jarred way. It's really not like you can't find exact same taste that you would go to these stores and buy it. It's really it's almost impossible.
Wow.
And it's amazing actually. I remember like my grandma making pickles and then we would actually put our bread in that pickle juice and eat it like that. I mean, it was just and then drink it and it was so good.
Well, I've used pickle juice for marinade too.
Oh yeah,
and then put the meat on the grill.
Yeah,
it's so good.
It makes
chicken
it
especially.
It makes it
and
really
is
good.
There is there some nutritional value?
Yeah,
some medicinal value to it.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah,
what it I has, remember.
Is it, well, it's pickling is it has probiotics too.
That's right, because it's fermented food.
Yeah, it's fermented.
Mm-hmm. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll help you with your nighttime leg cramps.
Ah, that's right.
It really does.
As Heidi knows.
Yes, that's right. They tell you that. Rarely am I troubled by that. But I've been told, get up and drink a little pickle juice and it'll take care of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really interesting, isn't it?
Bring it to bed.
Food is medicine.
Yeah.
I purchased the.
I was going to ask you.
A big packet. A lot of sweets because David loves milk chocolate. Mm-hmm. So I bought. They had wafers layered with milk chocolate. There were cookies layered with milk chocolate. There's Dubai chocolate. There was.
And pistachios in it.
Pistachios. I bought all kinds of stuff. And I bought chickpeas, a packet of chickpeas from far away, from that area, instead of our normal, you know, bulk foods. And I created this giant bowl of chickpea salad, which I normally do anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I put in some feta and fresh tomatoes, parsley, sumac, and lots of lemon juice and olive oil.
Oh, that sounds really
and
yummy.
It's just this fresh, crunchy, fibrous, protein-filled go-to meal. So I have enough to keep me going all week long, and I pack them into little Tupperware containers, and they come with me. It's what I eat, and it's so good for your body, especially post-menopause. But I noticed the texture of these chickpeas were very, they're dense, but they weren't mushy, you know, when you crunch down on them. They just had a wonderful character, so I was really pleased with that.
So did you get the dry chickpeas?
Yeah.
Oh, dry roasted chickpeas.
Yeah,
so dry roasted chickpeas in Turkey, people just eat as snacks.
Oh, how fun. Well, maybe they weren't.
They don't even add on anything.
I'll have to try it.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I bought a container of that for one of my girls.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right.
So it's called leblebi.
Okay.
And I wonder if that's what you got. If it's not in any juice or So if it's dry, it is snacking.
Wow.
Chickpeas. It's very common in Turkey. It's one of the nuts that you just eat. Yeah.
Trip out.
Yeah.
But it was really good. And I mean, every time we go, I just want to try new little items and.
An experiment.
Yeah. What's this?
Yeah. I'm going to add my leblebi, my dry chickpeas into my salad. Now
well,
that you said it, I never even thought about it because,
so
you know, when you grow up eating leblebi as like snacks, you don't think about adding it into
what else it could be.
Yeah. What else could it be? And so it's so interesting to hear it, like how you used it.
I pressure cooked it.
I need to do that.
Yeah.
Because I mean, as you were describing, my mouth was watering.
Like, oh,
this
so good.
Is a really good salad.
Sounds really good.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say that's why Heidi looks the way she does.
I know. Right?
I look the way I do. And to add to that, there was one more thing I bought, which was like, well, there's several other things, but. pistachio halva.
Yes.
And I grew up with halva. So, you know, it's like always been in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And, or it wasn't very nice, but I told the children they wouldn't like it. So I don't know whether they'll eat it now or not.
That's an excellent cover.
Oh, that's so cute.
I'm sorry.
Very cute. Well, if that's your biggest childhood mothering confession, that's a pretty good
one. I really appreciate it also just when you think about the experience of going, you know, dining at the cafe and then you go next door and provision, just all the thought that went into putting that together. Yalcin and his crew, I mean, they're extending their culture They're extending flavors. They're building community. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you would think this little tiny restaurant in a strip mall, like, is going to be abbreviated and oily or
mediocre,
you know, or you just don't mm-hmm. like, and you see a little restaurant in a place like that, so often you're not getting the kind of quality. So the quality belies anything you could ever imagine. Mm-hmm. Everything's scratch made. I mean, scratch made, like fresh. Just imagine, like, you walk in and there's a flood of aromas that hit you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of tomato and maybe some roasted meats.
Garlic
to the max. Yeah. And one thing that Linda wanted to talk about, and Sharon caught it right away. She went to go wash up and she came back down the hallway. And what did you comment on?
Oh, the library.
Yes.
It was wonderful.
There's a library in the restaurant.
Yeah, a whole shelf. You've seen it?
Yes.
Yes,
I did. Bookshelf.
And of authors that I know, I mean, it wasn't indigenous authors. Yeah. These were mysteries. And I mean, it was like, if I could read it, I would have taken a couple of
but
books.
But they were in Turkish.
Oh,
they
yeah.
Written in Turkish.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
Translated. Yeah. It's just beautiful. And there's just, it's kind of an honor system. There's a little square thing there that should, I forget what you call that, but you just click on it and mm-hmm. check the book out. Yeah. And it just says, please bring it back when you're finished.
Oh.
And, you know, it's yeah. just really, I thought that was a wonderful addition to a restaurant.
Celine, can you tell me the other feature in the hallway was just, there's like all these little
eyes.
Yeah, eyes.
Oh, the evil eye protectors.
So
yes.
Is that merchandise for
mm-hmm.
sale?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or
mm-hmm.
I thought it was one installation. Yeah. I didn't dare ask. Okay, tell
it
me
is,
more.
So it's called Evil Eye Protectors. And in Middle Eastern and well, Turkish, and I believe it comes from the shamanic
okay.
traditions, that what we call it boncuk, which is a blue with white and black in it mm-hmm. in the middle. So when you wear that, and it's supposed to protect you from evil eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So evil eye doesn't mean that somebody has like they're out to get you, right? So evil eye means that when you're telling something really wonderful. And then the love that they have for you, or sometimes the, oh my God, this is so awesome, that could bring too much energy to break you. So the evil eye will actually protect you from that too.
Okay.
Thank you for explaining that.
Yeah, so everybody thinks that evil eye is like, oh, it's for the bad. It's
no.
It's really not just for the bad. It's, it also protects you because there's some good eyes that could bring you too much energy to make you sick or feel that, like, it make you drain.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And so that's why you'll always see, if you go to any Turkish family homes or like the market and mm-hmm. the cafe, you mm-hmm. will always mm-hmm. always see evil eye protectors.
Yeah. I had no
good
idea.
Good or bad, it protects you.
It's very, that's a very cultural
really
superstition,
mm-hmm.
but one that is reassuring because it's a Eastern European thing.
It is.
Also, and there is a saying, you know, if you say something wonderful, let's say my daughter is going to have a starring role in a movie, and you'll say, poo-poo-poo, or umbashrian, and it just means don't call evil to you.
Absolutely.
You know, that it's a good thing, and who does the Italians?
I think Italians do those hand thing.
It's a very interesting multicultural kind of thing.
It really is. Mm-hmm. We also have the poo-poo-poo.
Oh, do we?
And then you actually open your shirt and then you go poo-poo-poo. It's so funny. There's so many different ways.
I need to play another soundbite.
Okay.
Yeah, let's go.
We're getting near the end of the show and I want to make sure that we cover this.
Yes.
Ice cream.
Oh, the ice cream.
Oh, my God.
Let's see. Oh, cripe. I was ready. Here we go.
The Sweet Tooth ladies, what do you think?
And we're having all kinds of baklava, pistachio laden honey.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that ice cream.
It's a different animal. It's not cow.
It's not.
Is it
no.
goat?
Yeah. He said goat milk.
It's the right place. He's explaining. Oh, that's the wrong clip again.
Well, you did good. It was goat milk.
Yeah, well, right. But
the Sweet Tooth ladies.
What do you I know what you wanted to show.
The most
you wanted to play
delicious. Him showing, you know, the way that he cut it. The way that he cut it. Because I have to tell you, people out there, this ice cream is like nothing I've ever tasted in my life. And since we had it, I've been looking at the web, at recipes and the way different people make it and use it and eat it. So to give you a brief description, it's thick. Like you cut it with a knife, kind of, and it's stretchy.
Yeah,
it's stretchy. It when he brought the dessert to the table, it was this gorgeous, shaped like a piece of pie, and it was a gorgeous phyllo dough, probably, or maybe like
it was
puff
baklava. It was baklava. No, it was phyllo dough baklava.
Yeah,
yeah.
So he brought that, and it was sliced horizontally, and so then in the middle was this huge mound of white stuff. Which I assumed was some concoction of whipped cream and something.
Yeah, I think you said burrata or something.
Yeah, something. Yeah. I mean, yeah. You know, I thought it was going to be a little more savory than it was. And then he cut. He said, no, no, this is how you eat this. And he cuts it with a fork and a knife and serves a little piece to each person. And what was your reaction, ladies?
Oh, my God.
It's made. Here's the thing I love about it. I mean, I love the taste. I have to go get some. I have to figure out how to keep it from melting from Kirkland to, which I think we can do. We'll just get some dry ice and we'll do all that. But anyway, it's made from goat milk, which it gives it a tangy, beautiful taste. And one of the ingredients that I love to say is orchid root flour, which I had never heard of in my entire life. And you can buy it. I see it. You can get it. Yeah. If you want to make this ice cream, you can do it. But Celine, can you talk about the kids with the ice cream cones and what happens at the... They have these little ice cream stands in Turkey, and the kids love to go get their cones filled with ice cream. And then...
So that ice cream is specifically called Maraş ice cream. That's not the that's not all the ice creams in Turkey is like that. So I just want to make sure that it's very regional. So it's called Maraş ice cream. So, and then if you go to Turkey, and there will be ice cream stands in some places, and you'll see people will wear like some traditional outfits, and then they would start like getting the ice cream from the thing, and then the kids were a whole like waiting for the ice cream.
They're holding
they
their cone,
And then they put it on a cone, and then they give it to the kids. And then as soon as the kid hold on to the cone, they lift the thing up, and then the ice cream comes with the whole.
It stretches.
So the kids is left without an ice cream, and then the whole thing is just so funny to
watch.
That's
cute.
It stretches like if you've ever made taffy. It's like a taffy pull. It stretches like that.
So it is. Amazing. It is actually fun. We when we visited Turkey, we did that with our kids.
Did you?
Oh my gosh, it was the
really
funniest
fun.
Thing. Yeah. Yeah. My kids still remember
them.
That.
That's so cute. Yeah, that was good. That moment of table service with that dessert, he brought it to the table, and so imagine sort of a baklava ice cream sandwich where the ice cream sandwich is made of. It's a goat. Goat's milk ice cream.
It was incredible.
But as he was cutting into it, it's like you could hear the crunch of each layer, the fork and knife going through. It was just like, and then soft, and then again until you get to the bottom of the plate. And it's just like you couldn't wait to eat it.
And the look, on his face.
And weren't there chopped pistachios on top?
Yes. Which now makes me want to talk about the pistachio latte.
I do too. I want to talk about
that. Yes. We have a minute.
We have a minute left.
Oh, boy.
Okay. So at the end of the meal, Heidi had one at the beginning of the meal. She had one while she was waiting for us to get there. I had one at the end of the meal, and it was the most delicious latte ever. And it was a pistachio latte. And they rimmed the cup with honey and crushed pistachios. And I don't know what they do to the coffee, but it was really good. We had Turkish coffee. We had Turkish tea. We had so many delicious things.
Yeah.
And that pistachio latte... Did you want to say something about it, Heidi?
Just that it was amazing. Just they rim the outside of it with some sort of molasses thing or
honey
maybe. Yeah. And then it's dipped in the crushed pistachio. And then it just smells like a wonderful latte.
It's a wonderful thing.
It's magic.
I would thank you, ladies, for coming in today and talking about this wonderful experience we had. And we're out of time here, so we have to say goodbye. And I wonder if anyone has a short parting shot you want to make. Is there anything you want to say, or are we finished?
We'll share some of the pictures from stirring the pot
Facebook page. We will share those.
Yeah.
And thank you for listening, everybody. It's been really fun, and who knows where we will go next.
And we'll see everybody that's listening at COSA.
Yes.
I just say we go there again.
Yeah, let's go there.
Maybe let's rent a bus.
Let's go to COSA again.
Let's have a bus float.
Yeah. Okay, everybody.
Field trip to COSA.
We'll see you soon. Thank you for listening.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.